again, I listen to Brother Dave pray, and I listen to some of you guys. I talk to Brother Dave, Brian, and some of the men and the women in the church, and I'm encouraged that they appreciate the Word of God being preached in the manner that it's preached and taught, and the way they're taught. I know Brother Napier always talks about the Word of God being taught. Believe me this, or believe you this, pastors being taught too. I look at some of these scriptures as we go through 1 Peter. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 as we pick up where we left off last week, verse 12. And we go through the scriptures verse by verse, and just so many truths are unfolded. Now look at verse number 12 today. I see this part about this day of visitation. I wasn't even going to dare touch it last week because it was just too exhausting. But we look at this day of visitation, but a lot of things happen prior to this day of visitation. If you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you've had a visit. You've had a visit. And there's folks that are watching your visit. Amen? They're watching your visit. They're watching how you are responding to your visit from Christ. Let's all stand. We're going to read just a few verses this morning. We're going to jump right into verse number 12 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go back and start at verse number 5. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. It says, And ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now hath obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Father God, thank you for giving us the power of the Holy Spirit which dwells in the man or woman of God. The power that we, because your Spirit rules and runs and controls our life, we can glorify you in everything we do. And Father God, thank you for visiting us. And Father God, thank you for giving us the power to let you in. Father, we pray right now for some lost soul today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, whose life doesn't glorify you. The words that come out of their mouth don't glorify you. We pray right now that you would touch them, Father God, and open their heart and let them receive you. And not only receive you, but receive the power to live for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas in they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, I see 4 points in that one verse. I see four command statements. Command statements. And what Peter is doing again, this is a letter of exhortation. Folks is just going through. Folks aren't, they have the power of God, but, you know, all of us do. But we have our days. We have our weeks. We have our months where we just struggle. Where the world just wearing us down. Situation, issues, family, friends, loved ones, just sort of wear us down. And sometimes we need to be encouraged.
Amen.
Sometimes we need to be empowered. Sometimes we don't want to go no further. I'm just done. I'm tired. And the issues of life, and that's how the issues of life are. They bury you.
Amen.
I've told you guys over the story of the donkey that fell in the well. And the donkey fell in the well, and they looked down and said, "How are we going to get him out?" And one man said, "I don't know. I think he's just going to perish there." And the one smart farmer said, "No, I'm going to get him out." And he started throwing dirt on him. And every time he threw a pile of dirt on that donkey would just shake. And that donkey would shake that dirt off of him. They threw another pile, and they kept throwing piles and piles and piles. And then the donkey kept rising up and finally walked out of that well. And that's how we have to do. We have to shake some stuff off. And we have to keep moving.
Amen.
And this is what God is saying here through the Apostle Peter. These folks were going through. But he says this. He says this to them: have your conversation honest. See, people will learn more about you when you're going through.
Amen.
than they will when you're going, when everything's going good. When you're going through, that adversity comes, you'll find out about it. You'll find out what you're made of.
Amen.
When you're going through. So Peter's first command is your walk. He says, make sure that you walk honest among the people. He said, make sure that your conversation is honest among the unsaved world.
Amen.
We used that word conversation back in the day. We said, well, you know, I got conversation. We didn't know what it meant. We just thought we had the gift of gab. We could talk any woman into being our woman. We didn't know that women choose. We thought we was. That word conversation here doesn't mean what just comes out of your mouth.
Amen.
The word, the biblical definition of that word conversation is your life, is your behavior, who you are. Who you are as a man or woman of God. How do you live? How do you handle adversity? How do you handle the trials of life?
Amen.
How do you handle a bad report? How do you handle a good report? How do you handle when God just says no? Or when God just doesn't answer you for a long period of time? Do you quit? Or when you're going through, and these folks were going through. They were suffering. Their faith was on trial. How would your faith hold up in God's court? See, God uses things to try our faith.
Amen.
We've been through, some of us. So he says to these folks here, the first command, he says, your Christian walk. That word having, listen, you see in verse number 12, having. Having. You know, now I like to stop and look at those words. That word means like a steady holding up of who you are. Why, everybody just watch. Having a standard that can handle it. Paul uses it in Philippians 1. He said, he used the word sincere. And that word sincere means being able to shine up when the light is on. Being able to be held up under the light. And what that word came from was pottery makers. You would have a pottery maker. You would have some good ones and some bad ones. Okay? I was online yesterday trying to find a product for Joshua online. And you on eBay looking, trying to save him some money. He wants to buy something. And I said, you got to be careful with these guys. They all have ratings. Mm-hmm. And there were some of the great deals where the guys that haven't sold anything. Well, I said, you don't want to send them your money. You want a guy that's sold 2,000-3,000 things and have a rating like 99 or 100.
Yeah, true.
But what the word sincere means is being able to be held under the light. And what the shady pottery dealers would do, they would be working on that wheel with that pottery, and they would get it almost finished. And it would crack. Not a reputable one would take it and start all over. Break it down, start all over. But the shady ones would get there and they would seal that crack with wax. So the smart buyer, when he looked at pottery, he would take it and hold it up to the sunlight. And see, the sunlight will reveal the cracks and imperfections.
Amen.
See, and what Paul was saying in Philippians, can you be held under the light?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right.
Can you be held under the light? Because see, when you buy that pottery and you fill it up with hot water, and it's lying in wax, it's going to break. It's going to break. And then the point here, what Peter is saying here in verse 12, he said, have your conversation honest. Because you don't want to fall apart when the heat is on.
Amen.
And believe me this, the heat will come. Okay? So having or holding up something steady, constant. You're constantly being dealt with, constantly being watched. Peter said, yeah. You're constantly being watched. I know I am. My house full of folks. I got four boys constantly watching me. Constantly watching. Watching everything I do. Watching how I talk to Cindy. Watching how I respond to Cindy. Watching how I go to work, when I come home. What I say, what I do, constantly. Folks watching Jake, you want to talk the talk. You want to preach. You want to sit up here and teach. You better live it yourself. And there's other men in here and women in here that have followings. Everyone in here has a following. Everyone in here is discipling someone. Everyone in here is responsible for lives. Okay? Got the brother here. I talked to him. He's a football coach. Them players look up to him. They watch him. They watch him. Tell us to do something you're not doing. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful as men and women of God that we're living this thing out. Because a fallen world, they're looking for a reason not to become Christians.
Amen.
You know, I think about us as promoters of Christianity. Okay? When I say the word promoter, when I was looking at this text, I think of Don King. I think when we think about promotion, a promoter, we think about Don King. And Don King was a great promoter. His job was to make sure the fight went on, make sure everything was in place, make sure he made some money. Okay? Take two of the worst fighters in the world, make a great fight. Because he was a promoter. And I think about that, and I think about who we promote. He's undefeated.
Amen.
A billion and oh.
Yeah.
Undefeated. It should be so easy for us to promote.
Oh yeah.
God, especially if we true to what we claim He has done for us. Mm-hmm. Called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
Yes, sir.
When we were dead in our trespasses and sin, He saved us. He delivered us from the darkness of sin. He delivered us from the fiery hell and set us on straight street. It should be so easy for us to promote Him. And some folks will say it's the hardest part of Christianity. So much is said about our conversation, our behavior through the text. And I have this thing here. Why, Pastor? We can talk about it in a couple of weeks. Talk about wives. And this is not just for wives. This is for brothers. This is for uncles and aunts and grandmothers. Because listen to what Peter says to wives. But that word wives is generic to me. I think it covers all of us. Okay? But Peter, he just identifies a wife. He said, likewise ye wives, 1 Peter 3:1, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Now, we can drop the wives out of there. But all you wives that have husbands or loved ones who are not saved, you know, they're watching your conversation. They listen to your phone call. How many of us have been on the phone and that loved one answered the question? You're talking to someone and they answer it for you. Because they're listening. They're listening how you respond. They're listening to what you say about your church, about your pastor, about the choir, about the music director, about the deacons, about the ushers, about the children. They listening. And if you fussing and complaining about the folks in the church, you think they're going to want to be a part of it?
Amen. Right.
Your good conversation. Why, Pastor? Why so much talk about our behavior? I could give you 50 scriptures on your behavior. Because the Word of God is all about how we represent Him, how we promote Him. Philippians 1 and 27 says this: only let your conversation be as it is of the gospel of Christ. You know, and again, how you live. You live like you've been impacted by what God has done for you. What God has done in your life, and you walk the walk, and you not only walk the walk, but you talk the talk. But now, folks watching you, when folks don't know, now we have a problem. Now we have a problem. So in verse number 12, it says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you have to ask your question. Ask yourself the question. How's my conversation? How's my behavior? I talk about it all the time. You guys know I work for a living. I'm a working pastor. You find out, you know, you run into somebody that work where I work at and ask them about the pastor. You know, my pastor work out there. How's his conversation? How's his behavior? It's going to come up. It's going to come up. Why, Pastor? Romans 13:13. I like this one. He said, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envy and sexual immorality. There's a way we have to walk as believers. Some things can't be named on us. Some things can't be put on us. And we can go on and on down the list. We can go on and on down the list. I like this one in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says that we may walk how? Honestly toward them that are without. Honesty is a big word in God's economy. Honesty. Anybody ever dealt with folks that are dishonest? Dishonest.
Amen.
Dishonest folks. Why? Why, Pastor, is God so bent on us walking in honesty? Because He hates lying.
Amen.
He hates lying. He hates folks that say they're Christians and live like the devil. I like Proverbs and the writer of Proverbs. He knew something. Solomon started it right off in Proverbs 6. He said, these are six things the Lord hates. See, I don't think that the Lord hates anything. The way the message is delivered today, the way the preachers preach today, God loves everything. God loves everything. He's just a loving God. He'll take you the way you are. He may take you the way you are. But if you tell me you had an encounter with the Lord, you stay the way you are, there's a problem. There's a problem of God is wrong, because God says this in Proverbs 6:16. There are six things the Lord hates.
Yes.
Seven that are detestable to Him.
Yes.
Now none of us in here should fall into these categories. But again, the Word of God was written to save folks.
Yes.
Okay. So unsaved folks don't even pay attention to the Word of God. So it's written to us. Seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes.
Yes, yes.
How your eyes. You're looking down on folks because God has saved you and delivered you, and you think you all that. Now you're looking down on folks. You think you all that.
Amen.
You can't even speak to folks.
Mm-hmm.
Someone come into church and they're a little musty, a little dirty. You move away from them. Oh, you try to get them to sit in the back. You tell the ushers to, you know, move them into the back. They might soil the seats. That was you one day. And you may have come to church all dressed up and all perfumed up and still be detestable to God.
Amen.
in your Sunday best.
Yes, sir.
Haughty eyes. Listen to this one. A lying tongue.
All right.
Now, children, adults, God hates a lying tongue.
Yes, sir.
A lying tongue. Can't tell the truth about nothing. And see, folks that lie have to have a good memory. You know, you gotta have a good. If you're not a liar, you don't need a good memory. You need a good memory if you're a liar, because you're like, what did I say last time? Look at Revelation 22, the company that you were in. If you're a dishonest person, because the Lord said we ought to walk in honesty. You're in an elite company if you're a liar. I hope I'm helping somebody today.
Amen.
Because Revelation 22 talks about folks that are without. Folks that won't be going to heaven. You don't have to worry about seeing these folks in heaven. I don't care what you say. I don't care what your preacher tell you. He says in 22:15 Revelation, "For without are dogs." For without. For without the chance or possibility of going to heaven. He calls them dogs. And I know some of us love our pets. We love our pets. We sleep with some of us sleep with them. And I see folks that pet lick them all in the mouth and everything else. You know? Listen. Dogs, and the dogs that he's talking about here are unclean animals. And he calls them people. Dogs. Unclean. Okay? For without are dogs and sorcerers, magicians and tricksters and folks like that. Whoremongers. And murderers. And idolaters. Now look at this last one. So we can get in the church and we can beat up the same-sex marriage folks and the homosexuals. Well, you know, them ain't the only folks that ain't going to heaven.
Amen.
True. See, everybody worried about the homosexuals. Yeah, they in trouble. Okay? But so are the whoremongers and the murderers and the idolaters and whosoever loveth and make a lie. Make a lie of anything. Somebody used to say back in the day, tell a lie when the truth won't hurt you. Something like that. I don't know how it went. I'm close. When the truth is due. See, that's why I miss Deacon Nell. Deacon Nell can finish that thing off for me. Listen. Proverbs 12:22. Because we're called to walk in honesty.
Amen.
He said the Lord detests lying lips. Lying lips.
True.
But he delights in men who are truthful. You want the Lord to delight in you?
Amen.
Walk in honesty. Walk in honesty. Walk in honesty. This is what Paul said. Peter's saying here in verse number 12. Having your conversation honest, your lifestyle honest. Be known as an honest man. Be known as a fair man.
Amen.
Let your yea be yea. And your nay be nay. Can't do it, you can't do it.
Amen.
Just tell somebody, I can't do it. But be a man of integrity.
Amen.
Be an honest man.
Amen.
Be a man that wants to be honorable in the sight of God. Let me give you an example of one. I'm in 1 Chronicles 4. And here's an example of a man who wanted to be honorable, who wanted to have an honest walk, wanted to be honest. I'll be there at 7.
Right.
I'm on my way home. You see, you have to want to be honorable.
Mm-hmm.
It just don't happen. Cause we were born in sin.
Right.
And when you get saved, when God saved you, you have to want to be honorable. You have to want to be a man or woman of integrity. See, we see Jabez here in 1 Chronicles 4 and 9.
Yes, yes.
Now, and I'm not going to give you the Wilkerson view of Jabez, okay? I know some of y'all have the book, you know.
Thank you.
It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Look around, young folks. Old folks, middle-aged folks, whoever. It ought to be your heart's desire to want to be the most honorable person among your group of peers.
Amen.
You ought to want to be honorable.
Uh-huh.
You ought to want to be honorable. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren because he's seen his brother. Not that they were bad. The text doesn't say they were bad boys. But Jabez, they might have been honorable, all of them. But you know what Jabez said? I want to be more honorable. Now, one of the things that I, as your guys' pastor, I honestly want to be the most honorable pastor in this town.
Amen.
Honestly, I really do. I want to be honorable.
Amen.
But it's not just going to happen.
Amen.
Okay? It's not going to happen because if I don't do anything to be honorable, I will be dishonorable.
Amen.
See, the Word of God says be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary. And his job is to take away your desire to want to be honorable.
Amen.
I hope somebody got that.
True.
Listen. Here's how Jabez became more honorable.
Yeah.
He said, and Jabez, verse number 10, called on the God of Israel. You have to pray to a holy God that, you know what? I want to be honorable. I want to be honorable. Young women, you ought to pray to God when the desires flame up in you. We live in this culture. You got to have a boy. You got to have a man. You got to have a boy. You got dating services. You can't even turn on the computer.
Amen.
Pop up all the time.
Yes, they
do. Listen, you have to want to be honorable. You have to desire to be honorable, and you have to pray to God, God, give me the strength in this fallen world.
Amen.
To be honorable. This is what Jabez prayed. He said, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. That's the God that David went out there and fought Goliath over. This was he understood that he as a Jew had a covenant with God, that if he did his part, God would do his part. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed.
Yes.
Bless me indeed. Listen, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me. Listen, that's a great prayer there. That's a great prayer there. And every man or woman of God who truly loves the Lord and know that God is working in their life ought to want their coasts enlarged. You ought to pray that every day, God, put somebody in my life so I can tell them about you. Tell them about how good you are. Tell them how you saved me. Tell them how you delivered me. Tell them how I was down and out, how you called me out of darkness into your marvelous life. We have so many great opportunities today. What a great time to be a child of God. So many, listen, if we was businessmen and our clients were unholy folks, we would all Christians would be millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Every Christian business, if our clients needed our product in a world today we live in, everywhere you turn, you don't have to go far. Go to a high school football game, sit up in the top row and just watch folks. Watch these young boys hang all over these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Walmart. I always say go to Walmart at 10 o'clock. You want to do some evangelism? You ain't got to go to Africa. You ain't got to go to Haiti. You go right up there in Liberty at 10 o'clock or in Boardman, Walmart.
Amen.
And stand outside and you can witness to folks all day and night.
Amen.
Is this possible? Because we live in a fallen world. Jabez said, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and that thy hand might be with me. Why, Jabez? And that thou would keep me from evil. Remember that. First Chronicles 4:9. That thy hand would be with me and keep me from evil. Because if you're not praying, did God keep you from evil? Evil will get you.
Yeah. Yes, Yes, sir.
Evil gonna get you. Spend time. And I know we need to spend time with our children, teach them how to pray. Michael come to my office every Sunday. They come in there with me, and I say, Michael, just pray, pray with me. Boy, you listen to me, pray, come in there. Amen. Teach them to pray. By praying with them, talking to them about the things of God, but most of all, by living this thing out. Because it takes courage to be honorable. We live in a world today that the nastier and filthy you are, the more popular you are. Is that something? Miley Cyrus ain't doing that for nothing. She gets paid. She gets paid. Beyonce getting paid. They getting paid to be raunchy.
Amen.
Now, when you decide to walk this honorable life and to walk in honesty and walk in courage and integrity, understand something. You're going to be called evil for it. The world does not like what you represent. This is what Peter is saying. Listen, you stand there and take it. You have the power of God in you. Look at verse number 12 again. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evil doers. Now, what Peter's saying is, some of the greatest blessings you can get as a Christian is persecution. You know why Peter know that? Because he walked with the Lord. He walked with the Lord in the greatest sermon ever preached. How many of y'all know the greatest sermon ever preached? And I understand. I know. I have a great dream. That wasn't a sermon. Okay, I know some of y'all. That was the greatest sermon. No. I'm not talking about that. Okay, it was great. Okay, it was great. But the greatest ever sermon was ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. And here are some of the words that were in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you was to sit there and say, the greatest sermon ever preached, you would not think it was include this. Blessed are ye. Mm-hmm. Now, you won't hear the prosperity preachers preach this. Amen. Because this is contrary to prosperity doctrine. Yes. Blessed are ye when you ride Range Rover. Yes. 20 folds. And got loose that bad cash, and he's traveling. You know, I got rebuked this week. Family picket. Well, you need to go to Hawaii. What do I need to go to Hawaii for? I don't need to go to Hawaii. I can't even afford to go to Hawaii. And the person told me that I had just loaned her daughter $1,000. I go to Hawaii. Take care of y'all. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Blessed are ye. That took me. That just hit me. I'm like, what? Blessed are ye. Now, this ain't the kind of blessing y'all looking for. When men shall hate you. That came from the greatest sermon ever preached.
Amen.
That came from the greatest sermon ever preached. Blessed are ye when men hate you.
Amen.
And when they shall separate you from their company. See, everybody God take out of your life. Everybody that God move. Everybody, well, you know, someone's ain't calling you in 2 weeks. You may have received a blessing. So and so don't even come around no more. Maybe you God done something you couldn't do. You couldn't tell him to stop calling. You couldn't. Oh, and he, you know, he just. Oh, every I hear his voice. Oh, when I see her, and I see the kind of car she drives. Some of us just get messed up. And see, sometimes we don't look at it like this, but God is saying, blessed are you when they shall separate themselves from your company.
Yes, sir.
And reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake.
Yes, sir.
Because you stand for holiness and righteousness and purity. And let them jokers leave. Let them go. Teddy had it right. Not Teddy Clark, but Teddy Pendergrass. See, you
better let it go. I think I better let it go. So there's a blessing sometimes in the letting go stuff. We hold on to all this stuff. Let it go. For it be another TKO. Some of us been knocked out so many times. And then go right back out there. I gotta get me another boy, get me another girl. The last one just tore you up. Stomach still hurt. Heart broke. I need another. You know, you need the Lord.
Amen.
You need the Lord.
Amen.
When them boys ask for your phone number, give them mine. Let me talk to them.
Amen.
Listen. Listen. You will be attacked in this business. You know, as great as David was, David, the man after God's own heart, he came into Saul's house. Saul called him. He played sweet music to Saul. He blessed Saul with his music, calmed them demons down in Saul. But Saul came against him and wanted to kill him. And here's David on the run in Psalm 35. And they said, false witnesses did rise up. Accused David of perjury and ingratitude. David was not that way. David was a man after God's own heart. And look what he says. And he says, and they laid to my charge things I knew not. How about that? See, they laid things to my charge that I knew not. That's the walk of the believer. That's the walk of the Christian, of the man or woman of God. When Paul first got saved and he was on his way down to Damascus Road to kill some folks, and God saved him and told Ananias this about Paul. And think about this. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Paul was greatly used by God. But here's what God said to Ananias in Acts 9:16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Listen, men and women of God, we are in the suffering business.
Amen.
Or we don't like it. But some of us in here suffer right now. Because God has put into your heart to love folks. And to love people, and to love your family and loved ones and your church family. And some of us suffer because we love. We love. Listen, here's two more points in this text, and I'm gonna close the door. Listen. Not only must your conversation be honest, not only will people call you an evildoer and ridicule you, listen. Here's what he says, that they may, even through all that they may by your good works.
Yeah.
That's not happenstance there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a command statement. What Peter is saying, listen, through it all, you better still have good works. I don't care how much you're going through.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you're going under. You get on your knees. See, we quick to quote Philippians 4:13, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Some of us know. You get on your knees. Because Paul said, Peter said, you still must have good works. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. You better glorify God in adversity, trials, and tribulation. You better still glorify God. Care how sick you get. You better glorify God in your sickness. And I don't care how high and mighty you get, you better still glorify God.
Amen.
Because he can take it away.
Yeah.
Look at Peter as reflections of Christ. My notes all messed up. Let's see. I'm going to get there. Hold on. Y'all be patient with me because they fell all off the floor. Amen. Somebody say you need them. I hear y'all. Y'all think I don't hear y'all. Especially Devon back there. I hear her good. Listen. He says, even in adversity, even in trials, we must be a reflection of God. When people look at us, they should see God at work. They should see God at work. When they look at you on your job, Jeremy, when they look at you on your job, they say, that man believe in the Lord. Look how faithful he is. Look how hard he worked. Look how committed he is. Look how dedicated he is to doing what's right.
And we ought to be that example. We ought to be a reflection of God. People see us, they all see God. You ever thought about that? Anybody ever thought about that other than me? 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's a ready mind. Because see, somebody will say, "Why do you live like that? How can you go through what you've gone through and still maintain your sanity?" Tell them about the hope that's in you. And that hope is that hope of eternal life. And then do it in a loving, kind way. Do it in meekness. And then not only do it in meekness, do it in fear. You don't want to do more damage to this person. Do it in reverence. Be a reflection of God. And the greatest example of us being for us to be a reflection is Jesus Christ Himself.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was a great reflection. And he reflected on the lives of all that he encountered. I look at Matthew chapter 9. Think about Matthew chapter 9 when Jesus was walking past Matthew's tax collector's booth. Y'all know the story. And Jesus walked by that tax collector's booth and he called Matthew. And Matthew just rose right up. Left everything. I heard one preacher say he took, only thing he took was a pen and paper to take notes. Imagine the ridicule that Matthew got. He was a wealthy man. But you know, because of Matthew, and I know I can't support this with the word of God, I'm just going to say this. I believe that Zacchaeus knew Matthew. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. Mm-hmm. And when Matthew walked away from his business, which was lucrative, I believe word got back to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to see this Jesus who was able to pull Matthew out of his tax collector's seat and leave everything. And not only leave everything, but have a party.
Amen.
And invite all his unsaved co-workers to the party. Now, in Luke 19, it says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." He's coming to the cross. And it says, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." It's a good chance Matthew might have worked for him. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way." I'm leading to talk about this day of visitation. This is Zacchaeus' day of visitation. And you know what? It was most likely set up by other tax collectors who had received Jesus Christ, because Matthew wanted to see this Jesus who was changing the face of the world as he lived these 33 and a half years. And here we see Zacchaeus at his day of visitation. And again, you're going to have a day.
Amen.
You're going to have a day. You don't want it to be in hell when you lift up your eyes.
Amen.
See, that was the rich man, and Lazarus, the rich man got his day of visitation too late. You want to get it while the getting is good, as they would say. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house." Zacchaeus had an encounter with the Lord. He had a visit from the Lord. And look what Zacchaeus did. And this is what all of us have done. If you're truly saved in here, you've done this. This is a life-changing event. An encounter with the Lord is a life-changing event. You know, somebody tell you they had an encounter with the Lord and nothing changed, they had no encounter with the Lord. Okay? They didn't. "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it," the crowd, the people. See, these people represent Satan. Satan don't want nobody to come to the Lord. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, this is salvation. This is a changed man. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have become new. He said, Lord, behold, watch what I do. Because I want to give you clear evidence that I'm a changed man. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Rich young ruler couldn't do that. Rich young ruler couldn't do that. He said, the half I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Well, you know, he was a tax collector, so he just gave it all up. He just gave it all up. But it's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of salvation. But you know, I have a better one. I have a better one in Luke. I have a better picture of what it means to have the day of salvation. I have a better one. Turn with me to Luke 23. Oh yeah? Deacon say, oh yeah? This might be the best one. Might be the best one in the Bible. Two folks get saved. Two folks get saved. Two out of three ain't ever bad. In Luke 23, we had the greatest story of a visitation that you're going to read ever. And it's Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Look at verse number 39. Because we see all the everything we talked about this morning, we see here. You're going to be a reflection. You're going to take it. But even though you're going through, even though you're being attacked, even though you're being ridiculed, even though you're being crucified, you know what? You still glorify God. Jesus was our great example. Look at Luke 23 and 39. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged with him railed on him. They railed on him. That means they ridiculed and mocked him. Listen, if you think you're going to come to the Lord and live godly and be obedient to God's command and not be ridiculed, you got nothing about coming. Just stay out of the business. Just stay out of the business. They railed on him saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know what he's saying? You're a phony. That's what that thief is saying to Jesus. You're a phony. Ain't no way you could be the Jesus Christ and be up on this cross if you be the Christ. You phony. Save yourself and us too. How about that? The Savior of the world on Calvary's cross. Mm-hmm. And here's a man, for some of you who believe, I got time. If you serve the devil all your life, you will live your last breath serving him. Amen. This is the only occasion in the Word of God where someone came to the Christ in the death phase. And some people say, well, there it is. Let you know it's not impossible, but it's highly unlikely. Amen. It's highly unlikely. Yeah, yeah. So if you forget it. Pay attention. But the other, seeing Christ, seeing the superscription written above him saying, this is the King of the Jews. Mm-hmm. But the other answered, rebuking his buddy. Separation. You want to talk about how to get saved? Separation. First step. Repentance. He rebuked him. He rebuked his friend, his companion in crime. Sometimes you got to get away from him. Amen. You got to sit with him. Get away from him. He says, does not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation. How about that? As you recognize the condition you in. Recognize the condition you in, unsaved man, unsaved woman. Recognize the condition you in, that if you was to die today, and I'm going to tell you something, that's a crazy corner out there. When you pull out in the parking lot, Sister Wallace, you know this, don't you? Where Blanche is. You know, y'all live around here. When you pull out in the parking lot, you need to pay attention. Because folks come up that street 80, 90 miles an hour. Don't just be paying attention. We need to put a stop sign out there. Because folks will pull out there and you will be wiped out. Now, the question isn't so much for Sister Blanche and Ann and some of y'all, and Sister Wallace, because that's just, you know, that's just heaven instantly.
Amen.
But if you leave here today and you don't know the Lord, and I know some of y'all be ready to get away from me. and pull out there and get wiped out, where you going to spend eternity? That's a great question. This is what this friend is telling his buddy. He's pleading with his buddy. He's pleading with him. He says, "Does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, seeing that you're about to die and you still don't have no fear of God? You think you're going to serve Satan all your life and he's going to leave you on your deathbed? That's a lie. He's going to be right there. Come to me." He says, look at the plea. Look at the plea on the man's part for his lost friend. He said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." That's salvation. Admitting the fact that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. This is what he's doing. He says, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." But this man, you want to be saved, you got to understand that Jesus Christ is sinless. He's without sin. And this man came to the saving knowledge of that. But this man have done nothing amiss. What a visitation. What a visitation. Because somebody will be looking at your life and they may think about you in their dying days, and they may welcome you to come visit them and talk to them about Jesus, because they've seen your life. They've seen how you have been obedient, and how you have served, and how you have sacrificed, how you have separated yourself from the world. Amen. And they'll welcome you. You just don't know. You just don't know. In verse 42, he said, "And he said unto Jesus," gave up on his friend. "My friend lost. I'm not." You see that, Elmer? He said, "Listen, I'm separating. I'm getting away from this fool." Okay? And see, some of us had to come to this. We had to come to this. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord." Now, Matthew's version say that both of them was ridiculing him at first. Mm-hmm. Now, his eyes have been opened. And this is why we preach the gospel. Because the gospel is the power of God to open up closed eyes, closed hearts and minds. Now, his eyes have been opened. He said, "Lord, remember me when you comes into thy kingdom." He didn't say, "Remember us." He didn't say, "Remember me and my boy." He didn't. He said, "Remember me. Amen. Don't associate me with this fool." Amen. He on his own. He said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Yes. Yes. Somebody say, he sounds like he's getting ready to recite the Lord's Prayer. He said, "When you come into thy kingdom," he's recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord. And if you're going to come to the Lord, you have to recognize him as Lord. Not a Savior. He's your Savior. Amen. But he has to be your Lord and Savior. He said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now listen. And Jesus said unto him, greatest words in the Word of God. But here, that was one of the greatest prayers in God's Word. You want to talk about praying? You ain't got to be long. You want to get to heaven? You want to pray? Pray that prayer. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me." Where? In paradise. Now watch this. He's saved. You will see that thief on the cross in heaven. Wasn't baptized. Ever paid tithes. Wasn't head of the church anniversary. Wasn't on the kitchen committee. He's in heaven. But what, somebody else is watching. Somebody else is watching. Matter of fact, there's 101 other people watching the testimony of Jesus Christ on the crowd. Because the centurion soldier is watching. And a centurion soldier was over 100. So he would have had 100 folks around him at all times. Somebody watching you. Somebody watching your testimony, watching your life. Listen. And it was about the 6th hour. And there was darkness all over the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst.
And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This is a whole lesson in that. And having said this, he gave up the ghost.
Amen.
In control to the end. And this centurion soldier would have known that because he had been at the cross many, many, estimated 30,000 crucifixions in the time of Christ. He would have known that when you're on the cross and you are going through this crucifixion, you don't have the power to say nothing. You'd have been done by the 6th hour. You'd have been out of it. Any effort to speak with him, but with so much pain, you wouldn't have been able to say nothing. Here's Jesus holding a conversation with God. Oh yeah. He says, and Jesus cried with a loud voice. You wouldn't have had a loud voice. With nails in your hand, nails in your feet, and they had that cross bumped up so that any movement would have been tremendous pain. Here's Jesus crying with a loud voice, letting them know, I still got power. Y'all ain't doing nothing. And I can come down if I want to, but I'm doing this for you. And Jesus cried with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now watch this. And the centurion saw what was done. Everything that was done, he saw it. Look what he did. He glorified God. A Roman soldier, probably the most brutal, murderous man in that army, assigned to the most despicable job of crucifying folks. Here he is, glorifying God because of Jesus' testimony in that visitation. He glorified God. How? Saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. Folks, listen. I know I'm closing that book. What a great lesson.
Amen.
You here today. You've been visited.
Yeah.
The gospel has been preached. Yeah. The death, burial, resurrection, the demands of Christianity. Walk honest among folks. Expect to be ridiculed.
Yes, sir.
And then not only that, be a reflection of God. When folks see you coming, uh-oh, here come God. Here come one of God's ambassadors. And understand this, how important it is for you to be shining. How important it is for you to lift up Jesus Christ in everything you do. It's important. Because we don't know, some of these folks are going to come back after years and years of being away. These young children will come back and say, you know what? And I heard Joshua tell me this. Even on this morning, I believe, he said, you know, when we go back home, when we try to find a church, it's going to be hard because y'all have a wonderful church. How about that?
Amen.
Know what he's talking about? Jake and Dave, y'all give him the blues.
Mm-hmm.
But he listening and he hear and he love both of them.
Amen.
And he said, you know, y'all serious about what y'all do here. That's right. We talked about this morning. There's some urgency here. There's got to be some urgency here because you know what? Little 16-year-old girl, gone. 16 years old, gone. 18-year-old boy, gone. The mother of the girl, heroin overdose. In the hospital, gone. See, tomorrow not guaranteed. And I know I sit there, and I know the young folks, I sit there, I'm just telling like it is.